These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant
a Friday, a Feedback Friday edition of Flagrant Howls here, your Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. We got the sports dad himself, Judd Zolgad. If you missed the return of Kyle yesterday, you can check that episode out. But kind of a wild night in the NBA last night, Judd. In the Western Conference, the Warriors pretty much ended the Rockets' hope by just destroying them in Houston, putting an end to their climb up the standings. The Clippers beat the Nuggets at home 102-100, despite Nikola Jokic going for 36 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists in that game. So with that loss by the Nuggets, the Timberwolves right now are in sole possession of first place in the West, a half game up on Denver and a game up on the Thunder going into the last couple weeks.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be
wild.
A lot of fun. And the playoffs are going to be absolutely off the hook. Like, I think the Western Conference, and I'm not saying once you get to the second round, I'm saying I think the first round is the NBA. It's incredible. Because there was a time where, like, the first round, for the most part, you could predict it pretty easily, right?
Yes.
Western Conference, that ain't happening this time around.
No, because you've got this. Well, actually, that's a good segue into the first question here on Feedback Friday, and we pull Feedback Friday questions from the YouTube comments, from your emails via the ScoreNorth app. There's a feedback tab in there. You can always hit us up on any of the shows on Score North. Scott Chavez 1688 says three games against Denver for the Wolves this season. They blew them out twice and then lost at a missed three at the buzzer while down the three best big men.
Yep.
They probably should have won that game because they came back and I think they had a lead maybe at one point. The Wolves should not fear Denver at all, Scott says. I don't know if I go quite that far because it still is the defending champions and they're very deep. But I think that's a good segue into like what you just said, the landscape of the Western Conference right now. If the playoffs started today, the Wolves would be the one seed and they would play. So let's see here. The Lakers and the Warriors would play each other in the first play-in game. So one of those teams, the Lakers or the Warriors would be one of those teams would be eliminated when they play each other. And then the Pelicans and the Kings would play each other for the second play. Well, actually, this would be for the seven seed. So you would play the winner of the second play-in game. Let's say Pelicans beat the Kings and Lakers beat the Warriors. You would then play the winner of the second game, essentially. So there's a chance you could wind up playing like the Lakers, I guess. The Lakers would play the Kings for that second play-in game, and if the Lakers win both or the Warriors win both, they would be the eighth seed. So you could right now, you could as the one seed, you could get the Warriors or the Lakers. You could also get the Pelicans or the Kings. But those would be crazy matchups. Right. I mean, you're talking about like LeBron, Anthony Davis, or you know whatever's left of this Warriors run that they've been on for the last 10 years.
I think it's fair to say this. I don't think there's any team in the Western Conference that you're going to match up or vice versa is going to match up with you that you're going to quote unquote fear. Like to me, there's no team where it's like, if you play them, you are dead. That being said, there's no team that you can take lightly.
Agreed. Like what's the lightest that you could take a team? The Kings?
But the Kings,
because the Kings don't play defense and
the Kings have had success against the Wolves, but in a playoff series, could the Wolves combat that? I'll tell you the one thing about Denver, which is why I would 100% respect them, but not fear them. It's not the Wolves' success this year. It's the playoff series last year. I think you match up pretty well. Like, I don't think, again, yes, defending champions, but I don't think that's a series. If you do match up at some point against the Nuggets where it's like, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think that playoff series showed you that you actually match up pretty well. Sacramento, the Wolves have not played well against, but if you go into a series with them, I think it's different. The Lakers, you're sort of worried about because of the names. And look, Davis is a marvelous player, but you have to take them seriously. But I think the most important thing and what makes this so much fun is there does not appear to be one like franchise where it's like the Western Conference goes through this team, probably Denver. But I think that that would still be a really fun series. And I think the Wolves would have a definite chance against
yeah.
if they play the Nuggets at some point.
A fun exercise would be, and I could try and do this off the top of my head, but we could put some thought into this. If you took Denver and Minnesota and you took every player on both rosters, how would you rank out all the players? Like, what would the top 10 look like? Would it be 5-5? The number one player in that series is Jokic, clearly, obviously. I think I would take Ant over Jamal Murray. I mean, I don't even know if that's really a question. I mean, Jamal Murray, all due respect, that guy can be a dagger in the fourth quarter and,
yeah.
you know, when he's healthy. But that's always a question, too, because yep. he's had some knee issues, I believe. But I would take Ant over Jamal Murray. Size, scoring, durability, defense, all those things. Mm-hmm. But I might even put, like, Rudy Gobert as the second most impactful player in a potential series and just kind of what he can do. But then, like, Kat coming back and Nas.
Right.
I think I would take Nas over Michael Porter Jr. That might sound crazy to Denver fans. But like it's a really interesting exercise when you start to list out those two rosters and you go like 10 or 12 deep. It's very even. You know, give Jokic the top spot, but then it gets really hard to start to rank the rest.
And the matchups too, right? Like so if you sit down at a chalkboard and you take this series and the top players and potentially pit them. So like Gobert shouldn't. And if Kat is back, which he should be, right? So Kat probably takes Joker, right? So Kat's on Joker.
They've thrown a few different things at Joker, but yeah.
Right. I mean, but I'm just saying, so like Gobert is not tied. Like to me, it's all about matchups.
Joker. Like, yeah.
Who takes whom?
Gobert off ball as kind of a roamer who can help on Joker if needed is an interesting weapon.
Correct.
Like, yeah, it's going to be right now. Those two teams would not face each other until the Western Conference Finals, which would be just, could you imagine Target Center?
Oh, it'd be marvelous. It'd be absolutely, it'd be crazy.
Okay. Speaking of Kat, I'm going to read this and then we can respond to it. This is from, I believe it's Jarn Barn. On the YouTube comment section.
All right.
Incredible how every episode of Flagrant Howls devolves into Mackie crapping on Karl Anthony Towns. Oh, all of the anti-Cat people are going to get their wish. He will be gone. But Anthony Edwards will be right behind him. Fans forget so quickly what it's like to watch all of the talent walk out the door and be left with nothing.
It's a crusader. It's a crusader.
It's a Cousins crusader here.
It is.
These players ain't hanging around here for all the dysfunction, especially if they keep losing in the first round. Wait a second. Like, wait a second. Where's this like doom and gloom crap coming from there. Here, man?
He hates you, but it sounds like he's just, he devolved into a pit of spite.
Also, like, here's my pushback to this. I feel like this has been a very complimentary podcast to Kat. Throughout the entire season, I have said regularly, this has been, when he was healthy, his best season as a pro. He has buttoned up a couple of the issues that plagued him in the past. Now, if Jarn Barn, it sounds like you're projecting Jarn Barn here. You're trying to make him into something that he's not by you're trying to, I've seen some of his comments before, and I feel like he's trying to make him out to be this Jokic level player that we're disrespecting.
Yep.
Carl is in a perfect situation right now. Just be a complimentary, really good complimentary player and fit in where you fit in. That's what helped drive the winning. But here's something interesting, okay? So in the however many games before the Cat injury, he got hurt before that Pacers game, like whatever, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So pre-Cat injury, the Wolves had the number one defensive rating and the number 17 offensive rating in the league. Post-Cat injury, offensive rating goes up from 17th to 14th. So they've actually been a better offense, smaller sample size, but they've been a better offense without Karl Anthony Towns, which is kind of crazy because it's like 24 points a game or whatever, 22, 24 points a game, 40% from three. Their defense has dropped from first to fifth in defensive rating. Winning percentage, it was 69% before the injury, 71% after the injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is not like criticism. It's just interesting fodder. It also speaks to the Wolves' depth that they can lose a super max player for a lengthy stretch and really not feel the brunt of it, right? They've just kind of kept winning at a 70% rate. Their offense has actually gotten a little bit better. Maybe some of the spacing and movement, and you know, some even Chris Finch has commented on like just the quick decision making by Naz Reid, shoot the three.
Right.
So it's not burying him. It's just observing what the Timberwolves have been in his absence, and they haven't really missed a beat to this point.
Can we put Jarn Barn on the sports dad couch right now, though?
Sure.
Like, I feel like I need to talk
the
to
sports John. Dad Davenport.
Yeah. Yeah. Jarn Barn, sit down, take a load off. You're full of rage and anger. And this is why the last episode of Flagrant that I joined with you, you know, I have made it very clear that I feel everyone, long suffering Timberwolves fans especially, should enjoy this. Like, what's going on is awesome. And I think they're really good. And I don't expect them to get bounced in the first round. I'm not skeptical of this team. I think this team is set up for success. Okay. But Jarn Barn, the rage, the anger you're feeling right now, I would encourage you to enjoy the season, as Ticey once said, because of this. You're mad, but you bring up a point that you eventually, sooner rather than later, unfortunately, might have to face once this season is done. And that is, if Glenn Taylor is keeping the team, we've talked about the contractual issues that will become major talkers between Phil and Kyle on Flagrant once the season is done, right? And we have now seen the fact that without Kat, this team didn't fall apart. So, like, you're going to have to eventually be prepared for what you painted to at least be a discussion point. Like, Glenn keeps the team. There's luxury tax issues. Long story short, just enjoy this for now.
I feel you. It's like, Jarn Barn, you are the ones fear-mongering here. Well, I'm watching this team for the last 3 weeks play at a really high level. Reid has increased minutes. Anthony Edwards is having a blast. He's throwing down posterizing dunks and blocks of the year. And like, for you to come in here and say that, hey, you're going to get what you want. Kat, no, by the way, like, I'm not demanding that I think Kat coming back is going to be a boost for this team, and they might be even better. It's going to be great if he can fit in and launch some threes, right?
But my point is, I think at some point in time in the coming months, this might have to be tackled.
Yeah, it might be a discussion. And by the way, if they move Kat, here's the thing. One last thing on this. If they do decide in like 3 months to move Kat for luxury tax reasons, or, you know, hey, just we feel like we're better off just, you know, getting a couple players and some draft picks and kind of building out the roster. Do I think that Anthony Edwards will demand out? Anthony Edwards is having a blast with or without Kat on this team. He loves playing for Chris Finch, loves playing with Naz Reid and Rudy, and like Mike Conley is still here. So like Judd said, let's enjoy the season here, folks.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a great run. This is a great time. This is a great time not to fear. If I'm not fearing, if I am not pessimistic, then no one should be. Because believe me, if I could sound an alarm, and there's been teams that have been successful where I've been like, this ain't going to last. But there's no alarm to sound here. Target Center, all they have to do is remove the tarps from the second deck, and that place will be filled 19,006 again.
I think they're planning on doing that maybe even next week. I think they're doing it the last few home games here.
Is that what your spies are telling you?
I think someone tweeted it. Okay. I don't remember who, though.
Okay.
Wade chimes in and says, my God, you guys. All right. Wade says, is Kevin Garnett overrated? A lot of feisty comments here this week. He says, there's no doubt KG is one of the top 1 to 3 Timberwolves players of all time.
What?
Al Jefferson is maybe in that mix, huh? Maybe 1 year of Jimmy Butler.
Whoa.
He says, the question, though, is if you compare him to the all-time NBA greats, was he really that good? He's not top 10 in points, rebounds, assists of all time. He averages only 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists in his career. Was he really that good? Plus, he basically rode the coattails of Ray Allen and Paul Pierce for a championship. I need to know how old Wade is. It's possible that Wade is a young Timberwolves fan. And now I sound like an old guy. So just sit down, sonny. Let me teach you about 90s basketball for a second here. On the last point, yeah, that KG basically rode the coattails of Ray Allen and Paul Pierce for a championship. Two things. Number one, Kevin Garnett was, that was the best defensive team in the NBA. That's one of the great defensive teams in the history of the NBA. The 2007-2008 Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett was the defensive player of the year in the NBA that year. And if you want to look at the analytics, by a mile, he was the number one player on that team in terms of win shares and win shares per 48 minutes.
Yeah.
He is. Kevin Garnett was so great across the board as a scorer, a passer, a rebounder, a defensive player, shot blocker, a leader. I feel like his talents were sort of like evenly distributed across all areas, as opposed to some players like James Harden is going to go down as one of the great scorers of all time. Literally couldn't stay in front of anyone at any point in his career as a defender, right?
Sure.
So you got, and not to mention KG at the end of his career, he was like riding, he played until he was like 40 years old, kind of riding the bench and scoring 6 points a game for the last like half of his 30s. And that kind of dragged his averages down too. So he's the type of player you can't just look at his box score numbers and compare him to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Wilt Chamberlain and say, oh, look how overrated Kevin Garnett was, man. Like, he was a heart and soul offensive and defensive player for a decade and a half in this league.
I got to go back to one thing, though. He said, so that note said one of the top 1 to 3 Timberwolves players of all time.
Who are the other two?
Yeah, that's my question. So that's my question.
Trent Hassel, great player.
But I mean, there's nobody in franchise history. There
JJ Barea.
There is nobody close to Kevin Garnett.
We're gonna have to re-rank. We did the top 100 with some help from listeners. The top 100 Timberwolves of all time. We did it last summer. We should do it again. I think Rudy Gobert actually might be one of the top 7 to 8 Wolves of all time, though.
But this franchise debuted in 89-90, and God rest his soul, the only player with a retired number in Target Center is the late Malik Sealy, and that's because he passed away.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, like, if you want to talk about Garnett's career as a whole, okay, but as a Timberwolf?
Yeah, it's a pretty wild accusation. That's pretty, but we're here, you know what? We got the sports dad here. We're here to... That's a long time ago. KG's career started 30 years ago almost in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's, there's probably a lot of Timberwolves fans. Like, unless you are a 35 or 40 year old, you didn't really watch his whole career. You might not remember he was literally carrying Wolves rosters where Anthony Peeler was the second or third leading scorer, where you had nothing on these teams except for complimentary bench players, and they were winning 50 games because of Kevin Garnett.
And the Timberwolves have had some nice players step in here with short bursts, but then they either asked to be traded, Marbury because of his contract.
Yeah.
As you said, a year of Butler was fun, but it was a year and then it turned sour. I mean, is it a hot take to say that the second best player in Wolves history right now is Ant?
It's not a hot take. I would still probably put Carl ahead of Ant in terms of longevity. But Ant, I think one more playoff run led by Ant, and the 1 year of Jimmy Butler, you could argue, was the second best player in Timberwolves history.
But I mean, there's
games
resume
of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, there's no resume to that, though. And like Carl, I appreciate Carl, but I think as far as like if you're asking me about dynamic Timberwolves, like dynamic Timberwolves, Garnett was, because as you said, he did everything. And his longevity was unbelievable. But I think Ant's my second.
I want to pull this up. I made
off the top of my head.
Last summer, we had a listener send a top 100 list in. And then I did one too.
Who did you put at 100?
Let's see here. I just want to pull this up. I want to see, because we're going to have to do this again. Because I think Rudy Gobert is a fast riser on this list. I think Anthony Edwards probably has to go up a couple notches, right?
I'm telling you, I think Ant's second.
Here we go. Top 100 Timberwolves. I last updated this document in October, right before the season.
Okay.
So this was my list of the top 100. I'm not going to give you all 100, but I'll give you like the top 15 or 20.
And give me the last five. Once you're done.
Okay.
15 or 20.
Kevin Garnett, number one.
Yep.
Karl Anthony Towns, number two.
Okay.
Sam Cassell, three. Kevin Love, four. Some people took issue with Cassell because he was only here for like a year or two.
Again, but short. Yeah.
I value peak greatness
right
over like. Like Doug West played here for a long time. Well, Sam Cassell had a greater impact in terms of taking a team deep. So Sam Cassell, three, Kevin Love, four, Jimmy Butler, five. Terrell Brandon for me is six. I think he's the most underrated player in Wolves history. He was better than Marbury, more impactful than Marbury. They won more games with Terrell Brandon and KG. Tom Gugliotta, seven, Anthony Edwards, eight. So Ant is going to be hopping Googs. He's going to be hopping Terrell Brandon. He'll be hopping Jimmy Butler for sure. Like, he's definitely hopping in the top five.
Yep.
Zerbiak, nine. Marbury, 10. Al Jefferson, 11. Rudy Gobert was 12, but that was after his first sort of season.
But this speaks to what I was thinking.
Gobert's jumping probably top five, right?
Yeah.
And then Andrew Wiggins, 13, Sam Mitchell, 14, Christian Laettner, 15, Pooh Richardson, 16.
Wow.
Here's the I'll give you 96 through 100.
Okay.
96, Darko Milicic. 97, Josh Okogie. 98, Wes Johnson. 99, Johnny Flynn. And 100, Mark Madsen. Screens and culture.
Oh, God.
Screens and culture.
Where did my guy Tony Campbell land?
Tony Campbell. I had Tony Campbell 17th.
And that alone speaks to where this franchise has been. Yep.
Ricky Rubio 18, Pekovic 19, wow. D'Lo 20. D'Lo a top 20 player in Wolves history.
That's my point.
Yeah. I had Kyle Anderson 23rd.
Slow-mo going through.
You know? So, we're definitely going to have to redo this list. And, Naz Reid's moving up, too. Where do we have Naz Reid? I had Naz Reid 36th behind Fred Hoiberg, Williams, Trent Hassel.
Like,
he's going up 100% top 20. So, a couple Wolves ownership questions from the audience here. Christopher Moe says, regarding the Wolves, Glenn Taylor, A-Rod, and Laurie situation, you either have the money or you don't. I have zero love for Glenn Taylor. However, it's time to pay up or shut up. The team is now worth $1 billion more than it was, maybe even more than that, more than $1 billion.
Yes.
Let that sink in. $1 billion more. What would you do? Yeah, I still think the amazing part about this is it's not about like, what would you do? It's all contractually binding. So it's not like you can just weasel your way out. Either they hit the terms or they didn't, and it should be decided pretty decisively. Like, there should be very little ambiguity here.
I think the frustration is the entire thing, though, that it's ended up like this. Like, I don't think this is, and I mean, we've talked about for how long whether you know we thought that Laurie, and more in particular A-Rod, had the ability to buy the franchise. I think what frustrates me is this, and yes, you take a chance, but you know, when you see the Suns sell, and they basically sell in one day, right? And you see other franchises sell quickly, and then you have a like 2.5 year succession plan.
Yeah.
That's my frustration.
It's weird. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like a McDonald's you're giving to your kid.
Yeah. It was the whole thing.
Watch me while I pour a shake. You're going to have to watch this, Sonny Boy, so then someday you can pour a shake. Yeah,
train you on this equipment.
Yeah.
So here's another one from Dawson Sunstead. He says, am I dumb or does the Timberwolves franchise pay for itself? Because we were talking about, there's been some questions, people that are much more plugged in, and I've had a couple, probably 3-4 conversations, that there is some question about, okay, it's one thing to buy the house. It's another thing to whether you can like, operate and pay for the landscaping and pay for
and go out to eat,
go out to eat, go to a restaurant, right? Like, are these guys going to be house poor NBA owners? Are they going to be able to fund a luxury tax? All these things. Right. And so Dawson says, what am I missing here? Doesn't the Wolves franchise pay for itself? What I mean by this is they supposedly made $288 million in revenue last year, according to Forbes. Doesn't that mean that they made enough to pay everyone and everything needed to pay for and then pocketed the $288 million, which they still have to split depending on the equity each investor has? So I guess what I'm asking is, why is it even a question whether they can pay for a team and continue to operate the franchise? A couple things. I don't know. Sometimes those Forbes lists might not be 100% accurate. Correct. There's the revenue, and then there's like operating revenue, which is more of a net number. But let's just skip past that for a second. I was told by somebody who would absolutely know that the Timberwolves are going to take a loss on this year's operations, in part because, and this is before they get to like a second luxury tax and all that stuff. So I was told they're going to take a loss. Glenn Taylor is not like up in arms about it. He understands, you know, he's going to fund this thing. But the TV situation for the Wolves impacted their bottom line a lot. And we talk a lot about the Twins and how the TV situation, right, they had to slash payroll, all this stuff. Well, the Wolves also lost revenue on their TV deal with Bally's and Diamond Sports Group. I don't know exactly how it compares to what the Twins TV deal was. I'm guessing it was a little bit less, but it's still like a significant portion of their local revenue was not there in 2023, 2024, like it was in previous seasons. So, it, you know, I trust who told me this, that, again, like, they're not complaining. They're not out there like telling the audience that they're going to slash payroll and they're going to get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, Glenn is fine. He's willing to like front it because they're winning and stuff.
Right.
You know, but the question remains, would a new ownership group be able to do the same thing? Is there enough liquid here to be able to operate potentially not making money? It's not a new arena, you know?
That's the thing, is you need to own a sports franchise in the major sports now. You need serious FU money, because the problem is this. So if A-Rod and Lori buy the team, one of the first things that they're going to have to look for is a new building. Well, at their current state, they probably can't afford to pour a lot of their own cash into that. So if the city or county or both say, oh, we'll take care of everything, then that's great. But it has to be approved by the voters, who probably aren't going to approve it. Now, how much are they going to pour in themselves? It might not be fair, but it frustrates me. We always think of sports teams as real businesses. They're not. It's a fantasy land, man. They're trying to do things that are so different. So it's literally, where's the arena going to be? Are you going to tear down Target Center? Okay, how much is this group going to put in? And if they don't have a ton of cash to work with, now this is why teams move.
Yeah.
So like it's way more confusing, and these are not excuses, they're just facts. It's way more intricate in sports than it would be if you're trying to operate a normal business. And by the way, we have seen normal businesses leave states to go to different states for things like tax breaks as well. We just don't care as much.
Yeah. I think where this whole thing is a little bit unsettling going forward is, it was probably, I don't know, maybe like a year ago, and I had heard, and I think A-Rod confirmed this on a radio interview somewhere, but I had heard that the initial plan was, not only are these guys going to obviously put together the group to finance the majority ownership of the team, no problem, right, at the time, but they were also going to put together a privately financed arena plan, because you can have two different groups. You can have your ownership structure, but then you can also put together like a real estate development plan as a separate thing altogether. And you can, because what they have been saying for a couple of years is, they understand the landscape, or they've been told about the landscape of public funding for stadiums in this city and in this state, that it's an uphill climb. Like the Vikings had to threaten to move to like Los Angeles, and it was a fight for years and years and years. And hell, the Twins had to threaten to move to North Carolina or whatever at one point.
Like contraction.
Yeah, contraction. Like it's not just, hey, everyone, we all love the Timberwolves, right? Let's pay $1 billion for a new arena. That they understood that. And so that's why they wanted to put together private financing. But if it's been this much of a rock being pushed up a hill just to get the ownership situation financed, are they going to be able to put together a group to privately finance an arena, which might be a, I know Glenn is not currently pushing for an arena, but at some point someone's going to push for an arena.
Right.
Does it need to be publicly funded? Is it so like all of these things are kind of looming, not only in the coming weeks, but in the coming years. And I just keep going back to, I don't want Glenn to own the team any longer than he has to. But the one thing you can say about Glenn, and I've been as critical as anyone for 10 or 15 years with Glenn Taylor, but the like, put it on the mantle of his ownership, you know, gravestone. He has been adamant about keeping the team in Minnesota. So if an ownership group comes in, doesn't get what they want with a new arena, are they going to look to snap their fingers and uproot the team? I mean, that's why this is such a complicated web here.
Correct.
Can we move off Glenn Taylor, but into Correct. Something reliable well, that's not going to try and move the team if they don't immediately get what they want with a new arena?
And Glenn's idea of a succession plan is a good one, because I don't think anyone in his family wants this team once he's gone. So like, he had the right idea, but the problem is this whole, let's take 2.5 years, let's do this, let's do that. And again, I'm sort of surprised that the league okayed that. Because it was ripe for this. But, you know, if Glenn passes and that team goes up for sale, my guess is the family ain't going to sit there and vet people like Glenn was and say, if you move this team, you're in big trouble. So that's where it gets to be a problem. And we might get to that at some point. But I guess we also should start off with whoever owns this team long term is going to need to have the over the top resources to run it correctly, or it's going to slide back.
Yep. So again, we'll see. Apparently sometime next week, there is a big NBA Board of Governors meeting of some kind. I don't know if that means there's going to be resolution on this quicker than maybe we thought, or if it's going to be tied up in courts. I know also a lot of Wolves fans, just rightfully so, just don't care anymore. Now that both sides lobbed grenades at each other for a couple of days, it seems like everything's going to be quiet for a while. But yeah, the basketball should be at the forefront of all of this.
Absolutely.
And hopefully that's the case for the next couple of months. And then we can spend the offseason figuring out what happens with the roster, what happens with the ownership and all that stuff. So, all right, that's your Feedback Friday edition of Flagrant Howls here. Please, if you haven't already, click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. And over on the Flagrant Howls Apple and Spotify pages, if you could give us a 5-star rating and a positive review, you can help us continue to spread the word about this Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.